Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell folk everywhere we go, I say, be very careful. You never know who your boss is going to be someday, and leave the door open. And I was sitting there thinking, why did I not put him up in a hotel? I don't remember what that situation was. But anyhow, it has been a few years, and he has grown a lot since those early days. And my wife has actually gotten two of me since we first gotten married as well. So that's just what happens with liberal souls. They get fat over the years. Praise the Lord. Amen. Join me tonight, if you would, in Ezekiel chapter number 1. And while you're turning there, we'll be home, God willing, until next weekend. And then we go strong, God willing, for the remainder of the year. And I think ingratitude is an ugly monster. And you support us, and I thank you for that. And I plug my motorhome up out here, and the church's electricity is what gives us light. And I am very, very grateful. I don't take that for granted. And you're such a blessing to us to enable us to be able to do what we do for the press. And we're excited about this coming year. In Ezekiel chapter 1 tonight, I begin reading in verse number 1, and just keep your Bibles open there. And we'll seek to try to break this bread here. Now, it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 1st day of the month, as I was among the captives by the rivers of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof a color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures, and this was the appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had 4 faces, and every one had 4 wings, and their feet were straight feet, and their sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their 4 sides, and they had 4 had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they 4 had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they 4 had the face of an ox on the left side. They 4 also had the face of an eagle. Thus were the faces, and their wings were stretched upward. 2 wings of every one were joined one to another, and 2 covered the bodies. And when they went, everyone straight forward, whether the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. Verse 15. And as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with 4 faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they had 4, and they 4 had 1 likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the midst of a wheel. Verse 26. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, and the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Verse 28. And the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Heavenly Father, tonight we've already talked about the heaviness on hearts and the great needs. And as we begin a new year, Lord, I'm very thankful that you have engineered it. We didn't plan it to be so, to be here tonight. Lord, the start of a new year, I want to be focused. I want to have energy, power. I want to accomplish what you have for us to do. Thank you for the great privileges to serve you. And I do pray tonight, wherever a heart is in this room or listening, that, Lord, you'll draw it back to you through your grace and your love, and take some very complex scriptures, Lord, that are certainly heavenly in thought and in writ, And I pray you'll help me to put it on the bottom shelf so folk like me can get what I need so much. Help us now tonight. Spirit of the living God, in Jesus' name, teach us our Bible and make it applicable, I pray. Amen. I appreciate my Bible, and of course you know the Old Testament is divided with major prophets, minor prophets, law, and various things of the sort. Three of the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, are ones that are like sometimes more than the minors. We think that they're majorly more important than the minors. That's not the case. It's because of the length of content that's found within them. But if you were to take those three and you were to study through the book of Isaiah, I think you're going to have to walk away and say there's much in the book of Isaiah that pertains to the Son. You know, unto us a son is born. And behold, a virgin shall conceive. Over and over, you'll find various references to the Son, of course, pointing towards the Messiah's coming. When you get into the book of Jeremiah, I believe there's references off and on and things that infer and point to the ministry of the Father. You know, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and sanctified thee and so forth. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, a great emphasis is upon the Father. When you get in the book of Ezekiel, you're going to find that the great emphasis over and over again, it's not the main thing, but it is priority. There's a lot said about the Spirit of God and the way that He went and the way that He moved and what His will was and what He wanted to get done. And I do believe that Ezekiel is one of the hardest books of the Bible to study, and yet I believe God wants us to understand it. And when we get to Ezekiel chapter number 1, I believe we find a vision of the coming of the Lord, and something certainly we ought to all be excited about, that one day is going to happen when He appears. But to Ezekiel and to us, this is a picture, I do believe, of God's will, His working in our life, His plan, and how He always seems to ride triumphantly regardless of the way things turn out in all of our lives. Tonight I want to speak to you for just a few moments about God's glorious chariot of providence. God's glorious chariot of providence. Now, in this book here, you're going to find, first of all, I believe, the signs of providence as they do unfold. Now, what does this word providence mean? You break it down, it comes from two basic words, the word pro and the word vidence. In our language today, we use it the word pro video. And certainly we know what video means. It means to see something. And the word pro means to go before. So when you refer to something talking about the providence of God, God wants us to understand He sees everything before and after. He's not bound by time or circumstance or anything of that nature. And so in Ezekiel's life, he begins to unfold the signs of providence. We're told in the last verse of this chapter that this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. How can a man even attempt to describe the glory of the Lord? And of course, if you're ever a part of the glory of the Lord, you certainly know you're there, I do believe. But concerning the glory of the Lord, I do believe there's so many different aspects of the way that the Lord works for us. You just go back and you look over the history of mankind and its checkered past, you'll find that you have to walk away and say there was no doubt a hidden driving force from behind many of the workings even in history. Whether it's in the Bible days or the early days of Israel, you'll find that there was God hiding always somewhere in the shadows in those early days of the patriarchs. When you find yourself getting over the life of Joseph, you have to walk away and say, boy, God was in the life of Joseph, wasn't He? And even when you get to a book like Esther, you'll find there's no mention of God in that, but you walk away from Esther and say, boy, Haman, God certainly built those gallows, didn't He? And use that man, and it just, you know that there was certainly a providential hand working in it. And when you look at the history of our great country, from the days of Columbus to the early workings of our Pilgrim forefathers, to the Ben Franklins, to the writing of our Constitution, and even the history of our nation, whether good or bad or what you think of it, you have to recognize there's something in the background that's working all things together for good. And no doubt Ezekiel is going to get to see the signs of this providence. In verse number 1, he mentions it's in the 30th year that he's in the 4th month, the 5th day of the month, he's by among the captives by the river of Chebar. It's in the 30th year. And I don't, you know, there's some conjecture about whether Ezekiel is describing his age at this time or if they've been there for 30 years. I personally believe it's probably his age.
Because I do believe for all of us it comes a time and a place in our life, even after we're saved, that the Holy Spirit of God uses some things to finally wake us up, to get it to dawn on us that God is working in our lives and that He's up to something. And so after the 30th year, there He is amongst the captives by the river. And this is found in verse number 3. Ezekiel is no doubt a priest. He's trying to serve the Lord, but he's not in the most favorable place. He has been deported from Israel, and he is in captivity amongst the captives. And if you understand your Bible, you'll know in Psalm 137, it was by the rivers of Babylon that most of the Israelites hung their harps upon the willows, and they sat down and they wept, but not Ezekiel. When other men were seeking to sit down and throw in the towel and give up in a time of their captivity, Ezekiel focused his focus on heaven, and he got a vision of the providence of God and what God was doing. And as a result of it, in verse number 1, it says that the heavens were opened. And for the child of God, no matter where you are in your life, if it begins to dawn on you that God is doing things in my life as an individual and as a child of the living God, you'll begin to look to heaven and see the heavens will open, and you'll begin to see a vision of what God's doing in your life. So no doubt this chapter is verse 1 about the visions of God, verse 28 that describes the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And no doubt a child of God that looks back over the shoulder of his life and says, boy, God was, look how God worked in that thing. The best he can say is not just praise the Lord, but he has to say, glory to God. Look at what God was up to riding on that divine chariot of his providence. In verse number 4, we find first here the winds of providence. It's a whirlwind. And I looked, and no doubt under the Spirit's influence, the Holy Ghost has a way of getting us to look. And he began to look not down at his feet, but began to look upward. And out of the north, north in the scripture always refers to the place where the throne of God is, who sits on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. And he sees a great cloud, much that like that of the tabernacle of the Old Testament. But instead of exploding out like a firewood, it's doing something that is supernatural. It's enfolding, is what your Bible tells us. And no doubt our God, who is a consuming fire, is trying to show Ezekiel something with these winds of providence. Understand, Christian, the Bible tells us that the Lord always has His way in the whirlwinds. And whatever winds blow in our life and whatever things are going crazy and taking place, things that sometimes we don't even understand, winds that blow and change things, God is always working something for His good and for His glory. And so we have a picture here of Ezekiel who began to look to heaven. And in verse number 26, when these winds began to blow and this fire was enfolding, as the Bible says, he begins to see the appearance of a man upon a throne in the heavens. Ezekiel got his focus right. And boy, as we enter into a new year, if there's one thing we need to do is we need to be looking upward and not downward and not outward necessarily, but looking to the one that's governing the providential things that takes place in our lives, the winds of providence. I also see here the wings of providence. In verse number 5, and out of the midst thereof was the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And the Bible tells us out of that fire, here comes these wings that are attached to these four different faces. And these faces are revealed to us what they are in verse number 10. For time's sake, I'll not touch on those again. But if you know the book of Revelation, you'll know the holy cherubim say day and night, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. These are the four faces I believe represents the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way the gospel message unfolds through what He did for us when He came and gave His life and died upon a cross. And the Bible tells us in verse number 16 that these four had one likeness. And boys, God has worked throughout the years and the providential things that He's done in the history of mankind. It's not been God just working at certain periods of time and Jesus working at certain periods of time. God the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost has always flown together in unison, working to bring all things to the providential work of what He wanted to get done. And boy, you notice that these faces are looking to the four corners of the earth. They're looking to all the different directions. The Bible tells us in verse number 9 that these wings are joined together. And in verse number 12, it tells us, and they went everyone straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go, they went. And boy, throughout the history of mankind, God's providential chariot has ridden on the wings of the wind. He's always been in control of what's going on in the world. God's always overseeing things. No angels ever run up to God and said, God, has it ever dawned on you what's going on in the earth? Nothing ever dawns on God. And throughout whatever age or time that man has ever lived, from the beginning of the Garden of Eden to the time in which we live, God has flown through those days and through those ages and those time spans of man to cause for His providential will to get done. And everything that He's doing, undeviating, unhesitant, unstoppable, is the will and providence of Almighty God. Well, this is God's glory. And you say, how do you describe God's glory? I can only describe it saying, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And when God wants us to understand something about His glory, He shows to us Jesus. And these four faces, they're crying out, there is one that came to serve like an ox. And there's one that came to be a king like a man. And there's one that came to be a servant. And there's one that came to seek and to save that which was lost, like the eagle that seeks something all the time. And that is the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly is the wings of God's providence throughout the ages. Boy, I tell you, get down to verse 15, then he says something, teaches us something about the wheels of providence and the workings of these wheels. And no doubt, you know, I'm sure you see the picture behind me. This looks almost like a nightmare, I guess you would say. But these wheels are working, and they're overlapped together. And there's something that the wheels are doing, and we find in verse 16 the mention of this word twice. They're working. They're working. They're working. And they're rotating. They're moving a certain direction. They're unstoppable. They're moving forward. You know, that's the way God works in our life. You know, no matter where you look at a wheel, if you were to mark it, as the wheel spins, at one moment it may be on top, and the next moment it, in the rotation, it may be on the bottom. And that's the way it is for the life of us as Christians, is it not? Some years we're on the top of the world and everything is great. Other times in our life we may be in the bottom, feeling like we're eating dirt every step of the way. One day we may be eating at the table of kings, and other days we might not be able to get enough together to feed our ugly face. One day we may say, blessed is the name of the Lord. Another day we may say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? It seems like for our lives, as it progresses on and goes on, it's ever changing and something's always rotating and something's always happening. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the less I like drama. And it seems like in our life, as things roll on and we get older and we get grayer and kids get older, there's always something that's just taking place and happening. But that's just the way life is. And God's wheels of providence is even working in those things that we don't see or understand. Sometimes you can look at a wheel, it gets to moving so fast, you can't even really see the wheel. You may just look like a blur. And that's the way our life is. It's so easy sometimes to lose focus on the fact that we are God's children and that the Spirit of the living God lives in us. And it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Jesus has a plan for every born-again child of God's life. And He ever sits with us daily in the temple wanting to teach us, wanting to mold us, wanting to make us into something that He wants us to be. Now you may say, God ain't working in my life. Oh, you don't think He is, but He is. You can be confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. God is doing something in your life right now. He's doing something in your family right now. You may say, well, but we're going backwards. No, God's wheels are rotating. God's doing something, trying to get His providential will accomplished. And what's going on. And may I say to you, it's a work. And for God to get anything done through me, He has to work a lot. And the Bible tells us that these wheels, as they were spinning, it says it was their work twice in verse number 16. And God has a work for you to do. There's something, as long as you're breathing air, that this year that God wants to accomplish through your life, and it's His work. And He wants His providential will to be done in your life and in your family's life and in your children's life and in every aspect of the world in which you touch. God's wheels are turning, trying to get some work done. And then you see the wheels are laying the other direction. And the others are spinning east and west. And yet all of them are working the self same thing. And all of them are progressing forward, is what the Bible tells us. And I'll tell you what always turns God's workings in my life. When God looks out of heaven and He sees me not acting the way I should act, and He interrupts my life with something to get my attention, here's what He's trying to say. I love you. And I love you well enough that I'm not going to leave you like you are. And I want to make a change in your life. And I want to make you a better person. And I want you to reflect my love even more so. So I say to you tonight, don't let life's speed and driving force cause you to miss the small things or the big things that God might be doing in your life. In fact, right now, He may be doing His greatest work in you that He's ever done. Or maybe this year, this might be the greatest year of your life. The Bible says of these wings here that was spoken of just a moment ago, is they're revolving and they're rotating. They're full of eyes. For you and I, we've only got two. And we don't always see what God's doing. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that God has set the world in our heart that every man, and I'm not quoting it exactly right, cannot find out the work of God or the will of God. Now, you can get the will of God, but not the work of God. And for you and I as Christians, sometimes we say, God, what are you doing? This don't make sense. Why is it going this way when I thought it ought to be going that way? Now, let me tell you something. As God rides His glorious chariot of providence in your life, because you're a child of the living King, you're a child of God, you're bought with a price, His blood has ransomed you and I. And because of that, His providence works daily in all of us. I was reading over in 1 Kings chapter 7, the Bible says that the works of the wheels was like the work of chariot wheels. And boys, God works in our life. You see these signs here. And I guess somebody else could get more flamboyant and more fancy with the teachings of this right here. But I want to put it down bottom shelf low enough that I can get a hold of it and understand. Here's what Ezekiel is saying. God's working in my life. And He's doing something for His glory and honor. Now, let me say something else now about the sovereignty of providence. Because God's providence is sovereign. I'm not a Calvinist. I hate everything in ism that has anything to do with it. And any time you mention a word like providence, immediately somebody might say, well, you must be a Calvinist. Not so. But the sovereignty of God, I believe, is a real thing. And His sovereignty providentially works in our lives. And when we look at this, I do believe we learn some things about His providence and how it works sovereignly. I see here, I believe it's mysterious. In verse number 15, I beheld the living creatures and behold one wheel upon the earth and by the living creatures with his four faces. When Brother Fuller asked me to preach here tonight, I can tell you since the moment he asked me, I've not studied anything all week long but Ezekiel 1. I bet you, I venture to say I probably read this chapter probably 40 times this week. And boy, that first night after I read it about 10 times, that night I had some weird dreams that evening. And I would tell you, this is some weird stuff right here. For me, I'm just like, whoa, what is this? This is creatures and wheels and all this kind of stuff. It's mysterious. And the way God works in our lives, sometimes it is mysterious. Sometimes you just scratch your head and you just can't make sense of really what is taking place. But I do know that these living creatures are going to get the message across to Ezekiel. And God sends angels as ministering spirits for them who are heirs of salvation. And sometimes He's using His angels as agents to put something in our pathway or to remind us or something. Maybe He's using our pastor, or maybe He's using a teacher. Maybe He's using a mentor. Maybe He's using some circumstance or some song or some person. All the things that God can use. Isn't He an awesome God? then he can use some little thing to get us to say, wow, God, this is awesome. You are at work in this. It's very mysterious the way God works. I remember 37 years ago when I was a brand new Christian. I was invited to a college and career thing at another church. This man and his wife called me and invited me to come to it. And I'd never been to that church and never been to that fellowship and around any of those people in Memphis. And it was a very large church. And I got saved in a little country independent Baptist church. And I didn't want to go. And I was in a bad mood that day. And they called me and asked me, you want to go? And I said, no, I'm not interested in going. They called me maybe another time. They called me back about an hour later and said, come on, won't you come on? We're having college and career. We'll have a good time. I said, no, I'm not doing it. Quit bugging me about it. I'm just not coming. They called me a third time. I said, well, okay, I may be there. And if I am, I'll probably be late. And boy, I finally at the last minute on a Friday night decided to go. And I drove up in the parking spaces there at the house. And it was cars everywhere. And I got up and I walked up and knocked on the door of some people I hardly even knew. And a bunch of people I'd never been much around. And they said, hey, come on in. And I walked in the living room and I walked around the corner. And there stood the most beautiful person I ever laid my eyes on named Deanne Perkins singing a song. And boy, right then, I was smitten. And I've often thought to myself, a little old decision to say yes or no to go to that meeting, I never went back to another and anything like that. And lo and behold, my life was radically changed. 37 years later, 4 kids, 13 babies. Oh my goodness, mysterious are the workings of the Lord, the way He works in our life. And maybe you can look back with your story to add to your chapter, your autobiography, and say, I remember, boy, that was kind of unique the way that happened. What was happening? I'll tell you what was happening. God was riding a chariot of providence in your life. And it's often mysterious the way that He works. It's also universal. In verse 20, it says, whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. And thither was their Spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them. You see, God's Spirit works everywhere. And these four faces are looking to the four corners of the globe. And God, and no matter where you may think that you've got a corner on God, but God's not just working in your life, He's working in mine. Sometimes we fundamentalists, we think if it's not in our church, it can't be of God. But I'm going to tell you something. God is working in the snows of Siberia right now. God's working in the jungles of Africa right now, or in the jungles of New Guinea right now. God is working in the seas. God is working in the deserts. Everywhere around the globe, the Spirit of God in a universal way is working. That boggles my mind that He can be so powerful. Now, all of a sudden comes into fray here. Well, what about the free will of man? Yep, I believe man's got a free will. And I believe man makes his own choices. And that'll be for my pastor to mop up whatever mess I make with this here tonight about providence and things like that, on sovereignty and different things like that. But I just believe that man makes his choices and God oversees, and God's the one that stamps the approvals that comes across his desk. And it's all over the world that God's working tonight. Hallelujah. And God's got needs with His people all over this world, and He's speaking in a wonderful, mysterious, universal way. I believe also the will of God as it rides in our life, it's also beautiful. There are different faces, you see, that God puts forth, and they're beautiful. Boy, when I look at this chapter here, in verse number 4, there's a color of amber. That's a deep yellow. And in verse number 16, the appearance of the wheels are the color of beryl. That's much like our Emerald Coast here in Florida. And then you'll find in verse number 22 that the color is of terrible crystal, a bright white. And then you go on down and it's like a fire burning around the throne. And you go on down to verse 28 and then there's a rainbow. You know, my mind just starts going in color about just how beautiful it was when Ezekiel finally got sight that God's working in my life. He got a glimpse of what the Lord was doing. And if God ever opens your eyes to see how exciting it is to be able to serve God in this day and age in which we live, and how God does have a purpose for your life, it's exciting and it's beautiful to see what He's going to do. Now, if you're Joseph of the Old Testament, God will say, well, I've designed you to be a ruler. But first, you got to be a slave. Then you got to be thrown in prison after you've been accused of rape. Then you've got to go through some times of famine. And one day it'll dawn on you, you meant that for evil, but God meant that for good. Oh, it's beautiful to see the hand of the Lord and the way that He works in His life. He's made everything beautiful in His time. Whatever God is doing, look in verse 26. Look above the firmament of your life and you're going to see a man sitting on a throne, riding on a chariot of glory, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He's steering the shots of things that's taking place in your life. And it's a beautiful thing. It really is. And the Bible goes on down in verse number 28 and He says, in the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud, like the cloud that is in the day of rain. The rainbow. A beautiful picture of promises. And as God works in your life and mine, He has to teach us things to get us to stand on the promises and to make those promises cheering to our heart and make those promises refreshing and new and invigorating and thrilling and have life within them. Thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. But oftentimes, now get it, those promises are taught to us in a cloud. Because it's in the cloud the rainbow is placed. And it's in that beautiful, colorful thing that we say, oh, look how pretty the rainbow is. But understand, it's in the midst of a cloud. In the midst of rain. In the midst of tough times. In the midst of difficulties. And when He saw it, He fell on His face. And He heard a voice of one that spake to Him. And I believe He could say, it's beautiful. This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in my eyes. We've all heard the stories of various people that have done various things in life and how their exploits went in various ways. And William Cowper was a man who wrote, "There is a fountain filled with blood." Man, I love that song. At the age of 32, boy, he wasn't saved. And Cowper wanted to end his life and he got some poisonous hemlock. He was going to take his life with it and he lost it. And so he decided, I'm going to jump into the Thames River. So he got on the stagecoach with a driver one night and said, take me to the Thames River. And the fog was so heavy that night, the stagecoach driver got turned around and ended up back at his house. And he got frustrated and got out and went in. He got up the next day, he was going to take his own life. And he got a knife and he went to fall on it to kill himself and the blade broke. He tried to hang himself later and the rope broke. But something's happening there. And eventually he turned to the Lord and he got saved. And he wrote this song. God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He plants His sea in the sea and He rides upon every storm. Boy, I wish it was always shiny, sunny days in all of our Christian lives, but that's just not the way life is. As the Lord works in your life, do not say, this is the ugliest time of my life. Maybe it's time for you to back up and say, you know, God's riding His chariot through my life. And this is beautiful what the Lord's doing. Don't understand it, but it's beautiful. Can I say to you, it's also intricate and very correct. Look at verse number 8. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. I think about these wings and these faces and these colors. And these wheels, but in the midst of these four faces, stuck up on the arms as these wings are flying, there's these hands that are guiding every way that thing turns in an intricate and in a correct way. And in fact, in verse number 7, it says, and the sole and their feet were straight feet. Didn't say they were crooked. In verse number 9, it says, and they were joined together, and they turned not whither they went, and they went everyone straight forward, always progressing. In verse number 12, the Bible says, and they went everyone straight forward. Do you know whatever God is doing in my life and yours, He's always doing it in an intricate, delicate, intimate, correct way. God never makes a mistake. Never. God never gets in the middle of something and says, I'm not going to have enough to take care of that. God never stops something and says, I've got to rearrange a new plan for this. God is always on the top of his chariot, riding with his providence, authoritatively overruling and ruling over everything that takes place. Oh, as a Christian tonight, you might say, God used to love me, but he don't love me today. Let me tell you something. The God that loved you yesterday loves you today. And whatever he does or allows or permits in your life and mine, it's always in a way that's moving forward in a way that will help us in our Christian lives. I want to say lastly that the sovereignty of God and as he works in our life, it's also amazing. In verse number 15, "And as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with four faces." Do you notice he said one wheel? And though there was a couple of wheels, it was likened unto one wheel. And everything taking place, as crazy as it was looking up in the skies of Ezekiel, it was all working together in one special fashion. And in this world in which I'm living, you're living in it too. I look at the political landscape of things and I say, boy, we're going to hell in a handbasket. I look at what's going on in the world and I think, what hope do my grandchildren have for tomorrow that it's going to be like the America that I grew up in? And we see societies falling and we see, you know, monies and humanism and all the diseases and pains and sicknesses and tragedies. But bear in mind, Christian, at the start of a new year, that there's good things that God's doing and there's people that's still getting saved and churches that are still being held up and churches that are getting started and God's people are doing some good things and he's taking all of that stuff as it's mixed together and it's working together for our good. Wow. That's amazing, is it not? And I don't always see what God's doing. But in verse 26, it says, "Above the firmament that was over their head was the likeness of the throne, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it." And boy, I tell you, when it gets so crazy in my life and I don't understand what God's doing, and I've got 10 million questions, and it don't make sense, you're looking at a Christian tonight, I rest in this fact that I'm not my own, that God is in control of my life. And as things happen, there he is riding authoritatively, taking care of whatever takes place. Boy, I love that song. I love the music that we sing in our church here. So much of it is so doctrinally sound. The one that Brother Jacob led us on this morning. "I sing the mighty power of God. There's not a plan or fire below, but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow. By order from thy throne. When all the bars, while above all the things of life, there's ever in his care, everywhere that I could be, I know that God is there." Amen. And that's the glorious chariot he rides upon. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness tonight. Lord, this year's going to hold some tears and it's going to hold some questions and it's going to hold some ups and it's going to hold some downs. There's liable to be some doctor visits and some times that we don't know where the next dollar's coming from or some hush in our home. But there's also good things that's going to take place this year. And Lord, with it all, may we cast our faith again at the start of this year at your feet. And say, "Lord, you're altogether lovely. And whatever you're doing in my life, I want you to continue to do it. Don't give up on me, Lord. Please continue to be merciful as you've always been. Please continue to see fit somehow to use me and to give me an opportunity to point to Jesus again to some people that might be a help to them." Now, granted, tonight, Lord, in this invitation, there's probably some folk here that this don't make any sense. And Lord, maybe they got their minds in so many places they think God's not within a million miles of what's happening in my life and family right now. Man, that's the time they need to lift their eyes up and look into the hills from whence comes their help. And recognize that the Lord is with them. You've told us you'll never leave us. And so tonight, as we begin a new year, please let there be decisions of faith be made towards you to say, "Lord, thank you, I praise you, I trust you, and all of my insecurities of the future, Lord, I rest in your providential hand. I love you tonight. In Jesus' name, use invitation. Amen.